Thomas Ross Parry.
Hello, Matt.
Have a guess what I've been playing.
Yakuza.
No! It's Tom Matt Attack. Yes, to the surprise of everyone, the people of Denmark have actually written about it in publicated newspapers. I hear Tom Parry. I've not played Yakuza 5 this week.
It's a miracle.
It is. It's an August miracle.
Why?
I didn't really have time, and I realised, hey, the only thing I've talked about for like 6 consecutive podcasts is Yakuza. Maybe I should play another game. Also, like we've had this discussion, and I will say hello to everyone at home before I get into it, and say hello to you, and how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, Matt. Yeah, I think there's lots of great games about at the moment. I've been enjoying them.
Yeah, that's pretty much the basis of it. But we've also, like, we discussed after doing that, the movie podcast we did, that maybe we should try and attempt to play the same game. So at least there is a consistent string of us being able to give an opinion on one thing that we both know, rather than the other person going, right then, yeah, cool. What's he been up to? Oh, he beat someone up. He's got an eye patch. Oh, wow. Head of a family.
Yeah. I think I know where this is going.
Yeah, so I purchased that Sonic Mania, Tom. Oh. I bought it. Yeah. Disclosure up front. Those of you who've listened to the podcast for a long time will know that I'm not very much a fan of Sonic. I'm not, like, against Sonic. I don't hate Sonic, but it was never my thing. I have no nostalgia for Sonic. My favourite Sonic is Sonic Chaos on the Master System. Mm. And, yeah.
There is something reminiscent of at least the Master System Sonic games in Sonic Mania.
Yes, there is. But at the same time, having sat on the couch with you while you were finishing off a bit of Sonic yourself and another game that we will talk about in a bit, I was there playing it, and I was like, who the fuck is this? And you were like, oh, that's Darwin Dingo, or whatever his name is.
What?
I don't know. I can't remember that.
I said Knack the Weasel,
Knack the Weasel, there we go. See, these things are lost on me. I feel like a vegetarian at an all-meat buffet, because there is clearly love and Sonic references packed into every corner that are lost on me.
It's a miracle. This game's a miracle.
What, that there's a good Sonic game?
It's not so much there's a good Sonic game, there's a game that's recaptures the magic of those original games in a way I didn't think was possible. Yeah. I never thought there'd be a game so close to how they used to be. So I'm really happy with it, because it's not only recaptures that magic, it also builds upon it and adds its own ideas in, which, you know, a real sequel to those games should do, unlike Sonic 4.
See, all you had to do was not give the game to Sega to make, they produced a good sequel.
You see, this is the game I stayed up for that night when Sonic 4 was going to come out. You know, I stayed up to download that the moment it came out, thinking I was going to get this.
Yeah.
And I got that crap.
Yeah.
And I'd say it's not a good game, Sonic 4. Neither episode particularly.
I didn't mind it. I didn't think it was that bad what I played of it.
It's just, it's like sapped of its life force. Sonic 4 just feels empty and like, oh, we're going to make a 2D Sonic game. We don't really want to make exactly the same, but we don't want to add anything interesting into it either.
To me, as someone who admittedly doesn't really like Sonic games that much, to me, it just felt like another Sonic game. Mm. I was just like, all right, okay.
Well, but you've played Sonic Mania now.
But now so. I have, yeah, and I've got glimmers of what people like about Sonic.
I think it's a perfect name for it. I think the story I read was originally called Sonic Discovery.
Yes.
And it was a project, a passion project.
Yeah.
Is his name Christian Whitehead?
Yes.
I think the guy who'd been porting the older Sonic games.
Yeah, like a Sonic CD and stuff onto iOS. I think he was the first guy who did Sonic 2 onto iOS, and then
yes, it was an update of the original Sonic 2. It was already out there. Yeah. I remember because I'd bought that and I got that free update.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was certainly an improved port.
It also added some like things that had been cut from the original game, right? From what I remember, there was like, wasn't there a secret area that had been cut from the original? And
I think there was something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but obviously, you know, this game, Sonic Mania, was born out of passion. And then when he proposed the game to, I don't know who was at Sega, I guess Sonic Team or whoever's in charge of Sonic now, they said, well, this sounds like Mania to me.
Yeah.
Like fan Mania. Yeah, you know, that he could see the passion in the game, and therefore that's how it got its title, apparently.
Yes.
Which I think is a very fitting title for it, because for any Sonic fan, this is a dream come true, really.
Well, this is the thing, right? It's like, this game is for Sonic fans by Sonic fans. It is taking all the things that they... that Whitehead and the others who were working on it think are the key components of Sonic, what makes a good Sonic game, and then blowing them up. But then also kind of like taking almost a 3D Mario approach to it, in that a lot of levels just have mechanics that are there for that one stage, and then you kind of don't play with them again the same way that Galaxy did.
Sure, it's just overflowing with ideas that don't feel wrong within the Sonic framework. They feel like an exact fit, like they were meant to be. And interestingly, I think in some parts this game's even better designed than Sonic 3 was. I think initially when I played Sonic 3, I had some frustrations with it. The flow of the game, I found you ran into too many walls and such, and it didn't quite have that same flow. I mean, not for the whole game, but this game, I think, in part at least, is better designed than some of the last Sonic games, which were great games in their own right. But yeah, I like how they've approached it.
Yeah.
In terms of starting off in Green Hill Zone and then also going back to older levels occasionally. But then maybe the second stage you'll get a twist on it.
The references to original stages have been something that I've played a good chunk of Sonic 1, 2, Chaos, a bit of Sonic and Knuckles, and never played CD, never played 3. Almost bought 3 yesterday, actually, of the me going, well, maybe I should play the other Sonic games before I play Mania. And I'm kind of glad I didn't, in some respects, because I think if I would have tried, I would probably not have bought Mania, because Mania has bits that have made me really appreciate Sonic. Like, the whole, hey, the fact that you and I both playing Sonic Mania will probably not have... We'll have the same overall experience, but we won't tackle those levels in the same ways, because there's so many branching paths and there's so many bits going on that there's just... Me playing through, even when you die, you get a game over on a boss, you have to restart the same stages. I've never taken the same route twice. I've always been able to take an alternate route and found different things and gone, wow, this route's a lot easier than the one I was taking. That being said, it has also highlighted the things I absolutely fucking despise about Sonic games.
Which, you know, you were describing this to me earlier, and they aren't an issue for me because I don't find it happening to me.
Yeah.
You explain what you mean by that.
I think Sonic games have always had shit underwater stages. I really dislike the whole, hey, we're going to put you under a time pressure to not die underwater thing. It's understandable. I know why it's there. But I've always found, like, the platforming in Sonic... For me, Sonic is you going fast. And I know everyone says that. And yes, there are slow, methodical bits. But it's always like the... The bits I like about Sonic is when I hit a good run and, like, by some quick time jumps and stuff, I'm able to spin around some things and do some cool shit. When I'm having to slowly wait for a platform that is moving at a very slow pace compared to how much oxygen I actually have, and then I die because of it, it really annoys me.
Although I think the oxygen is well placed in the levels, as it should be in a Sonic game, and... I guess if you haven't played as many Sonic games, then you are going to run into situations where you might get a bit stuck and have to wait for a platform or something. I think when you play Sonic a lot, then you avoid situations like that. So you don't find yourself spending too much time underwater because you know the flow of it and you know sort of how to get out of there as quick as possible.
Whereas I don't. And so like I accidentally run off the edge of a platform and then be in water and then go, oh shit, actually... I've really landed in between two spots with bubbles and then choke and die.
Yeah.
And in a game where... Essentially, it has a save system, so every time you beat a level...
It's not an act, it's a whole level. Yeah.
Right? As soon as you beat a level, the game saves, so you can continue from that next level.
So there's no need for continues.
So there's no need for continues. However, if you die at any point, it will take you back to the start of that level, be it on the last boss of Act 2... It will kick you back to the start of the level. And so lives are pretty precious in this game if you're finding something a bit of a challenge.
And I don't think you build them up as quickly as you can do in other Sonic
you
games.
You definitely don't, in my experience. It's much easier to get 100 rings, I will say that, for an extra life.
Yeah.
However, finding lives is not as easy, and a lot of the time you will be going through a loop or something, and you're like, shit, I should have jumped there, there was a life. And then I never remember.
You'll miss things because you're going fast at the time.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You're not sure until you've really played the levels a lot, know where how to get to places and mm-hmm. know where things are. Because I imagine if you saw like a zoomed out version of these maps.
Yeah.
I saw it in Sonic 3. I remember having a sticker album where the pages, the background to the pages were the maps zoomed out. And
that's
it's
cool.
Like amazingly impressive, the design.
I can imagine.
Has to go into these games.
I mean, like, it takes you a good, like, average like 5-6 minutes to clear a stage. It's not like Mario. It's not literally you running left to right and maybe going up a little bit every now and again.
Yeah.
There's some serious craft to the level design of Sonic that I never really appreciated before this game.
It takes a lot of cues from, I'd say, Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles in terms of how it's designed, but with the throwback levels from Sonic 2, then they feel as Sonic 2 did.
Yeah, yeah.
But it sort of does take the best elements of those games and throws them together in a way they haven't actually come together at this before. And it also, as you're saying, new ideas as well. The zoomed out bit I played on the last stage, can't remember what it's called, but I think it's near the end, where Sonic was able to go into the background and come back into the foreground.
Yeah.
That was new and exciting and different.
There's also, like, I won't say the second world end boss is perhaps one of the best boss fights I've ever had.
Second world end boss.
Yeah. It's...
Remind me.
I will not remind you because I think it's one of those things that once you hit it, you go, ha ha!
Oh, the...
That
yeah,
thing,
yeah,
yes.
That, yeah, okay, that would spoil it
for
someone
would.
Who's not played it before.
But let's just say there is full reverence for the Sonic back catalogue.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the bonus stages for the Chaos Emeralds are somewhat reminiscent of Sonic R.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow,
but
okay.
Also Sonic CD, actually.
Yeah.
That flatness to the levels mm-hmm. was how Sonic CD was. And but the model of Sonic is rendered in 3D in this for those special stages where it wasn't in Sonic CD.
Yeah.
But it's very reminiscent of... It's like both those things mashed together, but with that unique premise of collecting the blobs or the balls. Have you got enough balls to do these special stages? In order to increase your speed. And then, of course, your time is going out if you don't get enough rings. I like that concept. I think that's a really great idea. It works very well.
I think it's pretty cool.
Talk a little about the special stages. Whenever you hit a star post, you don't go into a special stage as such. You do go into the Sonic 3 equivalent of a special stage. But now it's used to collect these coins.
Yeah.
So you successfully complete the Sonic 3 style special stages where you're on the revolving orb thing in pseudo 3D-like. And you get medals. I can see from the extra section of the main menu, when you get so many medals, you get like bonus.
Yes,
bits,
you do.
Like artwork, I
have not successfully. I'm playing on the Switch. Tom is playing on the Xbox One. Would you like to tell him why you're playing Sonic on the Xbox One, Tom?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm quite a big Sonic fan, and I couldn't wait to play the game.
You?
Yeah. I couldn't wait to play it. And I thought, well, I'd really love a physical version of the game, but one's not been announced yet.
It's destined to happen.
And I thought,
if
I'm going to get one, I want to get it on the PS4 physically. So for now, I thought, well, I'll get it on the Xbox for now.
But why do you want it on the PS4 specifically, Tom?
Because I'd like a blue box.
Oh, fuck my life.
And I explained that it's the same reason I bought Ukulele on the Xbox One, because
it's
I thought
green.
The green box was more fitting for the title. But... Yeah, why not?
I'll get it on the Switch, I think. Even though I have it on the Switch now, I'd probably buy a physical one as well.
Initially, I was apprehensive on Xbox because I wasn't quite sure how good an analog stick would be for Sonic as opposed to a D-pad. And it's absolutely fine. I should have known this because I've played them lots of times on the Xbox 360, you know, the downloadable versions of them. I do find, though, you need the extra accuracy for those special... Well, what do we call them?
I guess
they're coin stages.
No, they're not really coin stages, are they? Because they're the ball stages, the ball things. I guess you would call
them. The ball special stage,
the
right?
Ball stages.
I find that needs an increased accuracy that an analog stick doesn't quite deliver.
No, and that's why I keep fucking dying on the Switch.
So it's quite easy on the Xbox One controller, at least, to switch to the D-pad for those stages. Wouldn't like to play the whole game with the D-pad because of how it's placed, but for those parts, it's fine.
I
move back and forth.
I'm going to get myself one of those Switch Pro controllers, I think. Mm. I think the Switch has sold enough that people are starting to make games for it, which is making me go, okay, cool, maybe there will be something I can use this Pro controller for. And the Switch one looks nice. Oh, I saw someone with those yellow Joy-Cons yesterday. Yeah. I'm going to get...
fluorescent one.
Oh, I'm getting those yellow Joy-Cons. Yeah, they look so nice.
Sonic, yeah, the soundtrack's great.
The soundtrack is absolutely about that for a second. Fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, everything about this game feels like it was made back when Sonic was made back in the 90s, doesn't it? It's quite astounding how well they've replicated everything about this title.
The soundtrack is probably one of the best soundtracks I've experienced in a long while. I assume a lot of the music is reworked music from the Sonics it comes
from.
Well,
when you're on a level which is of an older Sonic game, then yes, it's pretty much. I think it's a remix.
I mean, they are remixes. Because, I mean, Green Hill Zone obviously is the one that I knew and was like, oh, well, this is a really nice remix of Green Hill Zone. And then you started to get into some of the more unique stages that were specific to the game. And I was like, man, they really cut loose, but it really sounds like
the
a Sonic game.
The compositions don't sound out of place.
No.
Which is quite astounding. And the level I just played again was reminiscent of Sonic CD, and they even had the vocal samples.
Yeah.
From Sonic CD in there. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much to appreciate.
I'm going to go back and play some other Sonic games after this, I think. However, I'm kind of afraid that what I like about this game is because it's kind of chopping out the best bits of the Sonic games is probably just going to mean I'm going to be super frustrated trying to replay Sonic 1, 2, and 3 again.
Like, I feel like Sonic 2, up to this point, was my favourite Sonic game. It probably still is. Yeah. I think there's something so precise about that game, how there's not so much many layers.
Yeah.
I mean, this game throws on so many wonderful Easter eggs and fun layers and stuff, but it's not as direct as and perfect as Sonic 2 felt at the time for me. I mean, what I would say about Sonic Mania is the difficulty is slightly inconsistent, especially in regards to the boss battles.
Oh, definitely.
Which wasn't really a problem in Sonic 2.
There are some unfair things, I think, with the bosses as well. Like, there are one or two, the one at the end of Oil Ocean. Oil Ocean, yeah. Which is what I just beat now. Both bosses in there, I've got two shitty things about them. The first one is a boss that has throw spanners at you. That's easy to dodge.
It's a very simple boss once you know.
Yeah, once you know it, it's fine.
It's
but
the easiest boss in the game, perhaps.
It kills you instantly by... There's these like six, almost they look like warp pipes from Mario things with like shaky lids. And then when he cranks the thing up, they go up in the air. And they throw you into spikes, which instant kills you.
Yeah, unless you're standing in the middle,
unless
which
you're
you don't
standing
know
in the middle
the
one, which you don't know the first time. So you instantly lose a life on that boss.
It's a cheap way of making that boss more difficult.
Yeah, but
I guess.
I mean, like if the spike platform was moving or something and you had to kind of keep an eye on where the spikes were, I would be more fine with it, but the fact that they're just static for the entire boss fight and they instantly kill you.
Sometimes Act 1 bosses are like throwaway bosses. You know,
yeah,
there's
no
need for them to be there just to throw a boss in.
No.
Sometimes there's some unique mechanics going on there and they're quite enjoyable. The second stage bosses are usually more challenging, but not in every case even. You know, some of the second stage bosses are quite easy. But occasionally, like on Oil Ocean Zone, you'll hit a boss which does have a substantial difficulty increase.
Yeah, you lose your rings instantly, and that means one shot and you're dead.
And it was the first time in that game I hit a brick wall. You know, otherwise, for me at least, it was plain sailing up to that point.
I did struggle with Metal Sonic. You have to win a race thing starting off. You have to like run and dodge him a lot. And then you get to a point where he has these little minions coming out, and essentially what you have to do is you have to wait
for
them to spin.
Those ones are from Sonic 2, I think.
And then you need to hit them and then bounce them up into him to hit him.
It's not immediately apparent what you have to do.
No.
I kind of stumbled on it by accident and then...
Yeah, and then... But there's also, like, there is a way you can do it which is a lot easier than having to try and juggle them up, and that is... You have to spin dash and you have to hit them before they're static, and then they bounce around the top of the screen.
That's right, yeah.
But that's not apparent, and he's also shooting at you in the same time. So you have to try and kill them so you knock his shot out of time. There's a lot going on in that boss fight for no...
It took a few attempts, but it didn't take as many as Oil Ocean, which actually is a reworking of a boss from Sonic 2.
Yeah.
With some extra layers on it.
Yeah.
Which was never my favourite boss in Sonic 2, to be honest. But so I think I'm quite near the end of the game. It's quite a long game. Actually, it's longer than any of the other Sonic games that have gone before it.
Yeah, for sure. I think I would have beaten it by now if it was.
Yeah.
Zone-wise, apparently it's on par with Sonic 3.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly.
Sonic 3 and Sonic & Knuckles, I imagine the two together, it's about the same length as that.
No, Sonic 3.
Sonic 3 is a short game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I saw people bitching and moaning it's got the same zones.
It has got a lot of the same zones that are in Sonic 3. For example, the water one and that one you just played.
Yeah.
The mine one. I forget the names of them all, but... Oh, I'm not a true Sonic fan. I can't remember the names of these, am I? Hydro City and... Yeah. Yeah, the other one, the cave. There's probably something else which is also repeated. I don't mind that so much, though, because they could have just repeated the whole level, but they only repeat at least the first stage when they do it. And yeah, it does help to kind of turn this into a greatest hits package that feels in line with the rest of the Sonic universe.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's made me curious enough to go back and give Sonic the benefit of the doubt and try and play those games again, which I never thought I would say. Like, yesterday I went to a retro game market to bridge off of Sonic, I guess, and I took a lot of Mega Drive stuff with me, and I was like, well, no, I'm keeping Sonic 1 and 2. I don't own 3, I don't own Sonic and Knuckles, but I'm keeping these two just because I never feel like I've given them a fair shake. I actually, that's probably a lie. Sonic 1 I've played quite a lot, and it still frustrates me every time, but I'll try again.
Yeah, Sonic 1 doesn't seem to be the most popular one, and some people even go as far as saying it's not such a great game. I beg to differ. I think Sonic 1 is a solid, enjoyable game. It does have some frustrations when you put it up against Sonic 2. Sonic 2 is certainly a better game in that respect. Just to go back briefly to Sonic Mania, just to say how good the animation is in this.
Yeah.
You know, of course it features those animations you remember, but also, you know, Sonic's sort of balancing animation is great, and his looking up animation, and in general, the new enemies and some of the new mechanics, like the gun, for example, that shoots you and all this.
There's some cool stuff in it, man.
The animation is super good.
I can't think why, but there seems to be these little, like, vignettes between the stages where, like, things warp around and stuff. And it really reminds me of the storytelling in Turtles of Time. Yeah. For a reason I can't put my finger on. I guess it's just the colours and, like,
you're going into spectrums
and stuff.
A lot of those games in 16-bit era had similar presentations.
Yeah, so maybe. But there's something that feel... That game specifically, there's some comparison that my brain keeps making between the two.
I can't recall. Maybe it's something to do with the colours or the way it animates, perhaps.
Maybe. I think it's probably the colours. I think it's also some of the animation stuff.
Very colourful game as well, which is lovely.
Yes.
I'd give it a resounding thumbs up. Sonic fans are going to love it so much, and I think even, you know, like yourself, Matt, you'd agree that you're not the biggest Sonic fan, but you still find it an enjoyable game.
I wouldn't call
game.
Myself a Sonic fan in any stretch, to be honest with you. Like,
but there's no denying it is a solid, enjoyable game.
It's a really good game. Yeah. Like, I can't say anything. I've voiced my frustrations there, and that's more of Sonic as a whole.
Yeah.
But honestly, this game is pretty solid, and again, it's made me want to go and play the old Sonics, which is something that no game has ever successfully done.
You see, there's a lot of retro throwback games, but none I can think of, at least off the top of my head, have managed to add to it in any way and really feel like a true sequel. Like the new Double Dragon, you know, it's reminiscent of the old ones.
Yeah.
But what Sonic Mania does is it is like a game that could have come out in the 90s.
Yeah.
It is a development of those original Sonic games. And it's very interesting to see how Sonic would have gone if he'd been able to continue in that frame. I would say, though, I still like to see something that's a continuation of Sonic Advance, at least. Because there was some stuff in Sonic Advance, and I think you said you liked the flow of Sonic, how fast it can get.
Yeah.
Sonic Advance was very much about improving that mechanic, that you wouldn't really ever have to go that slow, but it still felt like Sonic. You had this extra jump you could do if you held down, like, R, as you, in the highest point of your jump, you could get an extra height on it, like a spin. And that really was a great new gameplay mechanic that improved that speed. If there was a Sonic game like Sonic Advance and you had the new Sonic model, that's fine, but you maybe had him done like Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
You know, you had that 2D style.
Yeah, and then at some points you switch it to 3D when you're running along something or whatever.
So you could do away with the pixel art. It's incredibly nostalgic and wonderful and it's done great in Sonic Mania, but you could do a 2D Sonic game.
You could bring in like a beautifully like hand-drawn aesthetic.
More hand-drawn aesthetic.
Actually, it could be really nice. The intro movie to that game that looks like the Mega Drive, like Japanese Mega Drive box art for Sonic.
And it's also
could be reminiscent of
Sonic CD intro as well. Something like that could really be a progression from this point.
Yes.
rather than the stagnant thing that was Sonic 4. You know, the art director of Sonic 4 was very substandard, at least. And
well, I mean, like, the question is, they will probably try and do a sequel to this game because it seems to be very successful.
But can that work? No, I don't know. I think it could still be a good, enjoyable game. But this is a special thing. I feel like Sonic Mania is a special case. And maybe it'll be nice just to leave it there now. And say.
But at the same time, like, we're still going to get that wanky, like, dark, gritty Sonic game later this year or next year.
Which I will still play.
And it's probably going to be ass. It's probably going to be, like, Werehedgehog again. Like,
I think there's been some good things about the recent Sonic games. I think Generations I found to be an enjoyable experience on the whole. And I think there's elements of the other games that have been released as well that are good. They haven't always been consistent.
Yeah.
And they've always thrown in stuff which is needlessly frustrating and, you know, not... It just shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's see how this one turns out. I imagine it'll pretty much be on par with Generations, which, you know, was a fun game, yeah. I thought, but not quite Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania is special.
All right, if you were had to, like, Mega Drive aside, rate the games from the last, I guess it's 10 years. So we're talking Colors, Sonic and the Black Knight, Werehedgehog, the 2006 game, Mania.
That other Sonic Generations game that was the Arabian Nights type one that was like, that was the prequel to Black Knight. Do you remember that one?
No, I didn't.
Sacred Rings or something like
okay,
that?
Okay, Sacred Rings. I think we'll call it that.
Did you say Sonic Unleashed?
I did not say Sonic Unleashed. Yeah. Okay, so there's like 8 games. How would you rank those?
Difficult. Do you not count Sonic Adventure? Is that too far back?
It's too far back, I would say. Sonic, I mean, if you really want to, you can put Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 and fucking Shadow the Hedgehog in there just for good measure, if you really want to, but
I'd say Sonic Generations, which again was a celebration of Sonic's throughout the years as well. It seems that whenever Sega have to do something like that, that pays tribute to him, then they seem to do a better job, at least. You know, this game's not been developed by Sega, but... So Sonic Generations is probably the best 3D Sonic game of recent
years. Better than Colors?
I think it's because it has the throwback stuff. I maybe favour Sonic Generations more because it had enough of that original flavour. But Sonic Colors laid the groundwork for Generations. I don't think Generations would have been as good as it was without already having, you know, got that basis from Sonic Colors.
Yeah.
So those two are probably the best. There was good stuff Sonic Unleashed, at least the Sonic levels were good. The Werehedgehog things were sort of... Nobody wanted them in the first place. It was a thing to make Sonic a bit different, which is something to Sega's credit they've always tried to do. You know, they've always tried to put these spins on it, but
it's
not what the audience is.
It's not
wanted.
Been the same level as Mario's spins, where they're like, oh wow, this is a breath of fresh air to Mario. It's always been like, oh shit,
oh,
what
do we have
done
to
Sonic?
Do that? Yeah, they've not got the right idea there. So yeah, I think a Sonic Lost World had some really frustrating segments, but at least...
I just realised that I forgot, Tom, and you also forgot the best.
Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom is the best game of the last 10 years.
Sonic Boom is an incredibly average game, I'd say. Yeah. Average to, you know, some parts are pretty poor, but it's not as bad as I think some people made it out to be.
Sonic Unleashed is the Wii U one, right?
No, Sonic Lost World.
Lost World is the Wii U one.
Yeah, and so Sonic Boom.
Yeah.
But Sonic Lost World, you know that game, don't you?
I do know that game.
That was like the Mario Galaxy Sonic game. And some of it worked pretty well. In fact, play the 3DS version. It's probably a more consistent experience.
You know, I never see that game in Wii U pre-owned piles. Actually, now I think about it.
I think there was a bit to appreciate in that. Some of it went well, and then other bits. It's that formula. It doesn't have that. The recent Sonic games haven't had that seamless flow of good gameplay.
Yeah,
you know, it's great in parts, but then it just stuffs it up, and then it's hard to forgive those segments of the game because they just shouldn't be there.
Yeah,
you know. So there's been this constant frustration with Sonic games over the years where they've not been outright terrible, I don't think. But they've not been consistently good either.
No.
Whereas Sonic Mania is pr- pretty much...
Sonic Lost World for the 3DS is a pretty enjoyable. Expensive game.
Oh.
It's like 40 quid. Interesting.
Yeah. It's probably better than the Wii U one. Of course, it doesn't look quite as nice as the Wii U one. But
Sonic Boom's actually a pretty expensive Wii U game as well. Same with Lost World, but...
Well, there you go. It's a Sonic, I'm not going to pick any of them up
because they're not very good games.
But for a Sonic fan, you will find something to appreciate in those games, at least.
Yeah.
But I think we can just agree that Sonic Mania is like... It's surprisingly good, considering.
If you like Sonic, you will love Sonic Mania. If you're indifferent about Sonic, you will still think it's a good game, is what I say.
The feeling of glee I had when I turned that on, and my face just lit up, and I was back to feeling like a kid again playing Sonic.
Yeah.
And I think that's the highest praise you can give it. It's recreated that feeling, and it's a wonderful update of a classic franchise.
I heard someone say this is how you remember Sonic being.
Yeah, like, and that's what everybody wanted.
Yeah. So, it's all good and heard.
Yeah, it is. I think we've said our bit on Sonic now, haven't
we? I think so. We talked about it for half an hour. So, yeah, I think we have the ground
we have
pretty
to move
well
on,
covered.
Somewhere. What else have you been playing, Matthew?
I put in a game, Tom, which was my biggest disappointment of last year, called No Man's Sky. Because it has had a new patch. There is essentially multiplayer in the game now. There's also story. So I was just like, okay, cool. I'll start a new game. I'll get into this. This will be great. And immediately, I was just like, oh yeah, shit. I remember why I stopped playing this game. Because I started a new game. I started in survival mode. Because I was like, well, maybe I'll try survival. Because I didn't really find the game that challenging last time I played it. Da da da. And it immediately stuck me on a fucking nuclear planet, which meant that I could only walk like a minute away from my base station at a time without dying, and that is a game about exploring and trying to find things.
So what do you need to be able to explore?
Well, you need to be able to build things to get your ship working to get off the planet.
Oh, right.
And in an hour and a half...
You can't wear a special suit to protect you from...
You can build things, yeah, sure. But you need the fucking schematics from those, which involve you exploring the galaxy, which I was unable to do because I couldn't move a minute away from my base without dying.
I was watching our friend Toby play this yesterday, and she was so into it.
It was like, and
she didn't know why she was playing it either. She didn't know what really. She just managed to find things, and they led to another thing. And then, well, I want to go over there and see that.
Yeah.
So you keep playing it to get over there.
Yeah.
But there's no real. It's just like this carrot that keeps dangling.
Yeah, but I couldn't do that because it wouldn't let me move a minute away from my sodding base.
Well, that sounds very frustrating.
Yeah, so
how did you end up in that position?
Because the game randomly spawns you on a planet. Oh. And unfortunately, it spawned me on a shit one. And I was like, well, this is a challenge I'll overcome and it'll make me feel great when I get off this planet.
Yeah.
But I played for an hour and a half and I was like, no, fuck this. I don't want to play this game again.
Seeing it again the other day, I saw those aliens that sit in their outposts.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're like glued to their chairs.
Yes.
Do they ever get up?
No.
There's some stand up.
There are some standing.
They don't walk around.
The ones who are in the chair are clearly modelled into the chair. Yeah, it's weird. So I didn't get to experience any of the new content. I will perhaps just restart the regular game again, because even though I'm quite far in, it doesn't really matter because I have no interest of really getting to the center of the galaxy or doing any of those things.
That lens flare, though. I mean, that's a situation where it's like, whoa!
That game is a very good game.
Very good looking game.
The reason of just exploring and looking around and stuff. Mm. It's only when you've played it for, like, I played like 60 hours or something of that game. And I felt like I'd seen all there was to see. Like, I'd seen the different types of planets. I'd been in crazy, like, storms and I'd been on hostile planets with like crazy robots trying to kill me. And
did you feel you got your money's worth?
I definitely got my money's worth out of No Man's Sky. The only annoying thing is I had a platinum, so I had 100%, and then they introduced new achievements, but they like get to the center of the galaxy in permadeath mode, and I'm like, no, that ain't happening. No, I'm not wasting 60 hours of my time. Like, the amount of times I died in space combat because I had not landed on planets that gave me schematics to build a better spaceship have led me to go, no, I'm not bothering. I'm not even attempting to do that. So,
But you had another go at it.
I did, and I will probably, like I said, I will probably, between now and next week, try and restart it again, see if it's just survival's a pain in the ass, and then if it is, I will just go back to regular, and then see if I can see some story stuff.
If you haven't tried it before, it's probably the perfect time to pick it up now.
I mean, it's a tenner. Yeah, why not? I mean, it is essentially a good game, but just know you're not getting into something that, even though they have introduced story, that's not the main draw. It's exploration and chilling out in space.
Yeah.
It's
And that wasn't apparent, really, at the beginning, was it, when definitely the game came out? And a lot of people were disappointed by it, and they're probably more disappointed because it was a full-price game at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, they must have made a bit of money out of that to enable them to give the free content out now.
Well, I think they based their business model off pretty much people playing for a full game so they could have the money to do this.
Yeah, it was always the intention.
I mean, it sold really well. It charted. Yeah. It was like a number one seller in the UK. It's just,
and then you
started
seeing it in the pre-owned bins and such.
Yeah.
As it really wasn't a game for everyone.
No. But those who do enjoy it, still play it and love it. I mean, I enjoy that game. I can't say it's terrible.
No.
But I've had enough of it. I don't need it. I nearly bought Elite, but I was afraid of Elite Dangerous giving me the same feeling.
Mm.
But I will pick that up eventually, I think, if it's on sale. Yeah. What have you been playing?
I've been playing and really enjoying Graceful Explosion Machine. You saw me playing earlier. It's pretty simple premise, you know. It's waves. It's a spaceship side-scroller shooter, but in an enclosed area, where waves of enemies attack you and you have to use your ship's unique abilities to take down those waves of enemies.
What are those unique abilities, Tom Parry?
Well, you have a regular laser. And you also have a laser sword, which is great for clearing out enemies who get too close to you or batting back projectiles.
Yeah, it kind of swaps in front of you like a shield, right? Yeah. Like on an arch. Yeah, it looked pretty cool.
Yeah, so mostly use those two together. Occasionally you can use the missiles if you've got enemies coming at you from either sides and you get overwhelmed, your missiles help. And then the stronger enemies, which require you to use a more powerful kind of like laser.
Yeah.
Long, powerful laser beam. And you just mix and match these attacks how you need to defeat the enemies. And there are quite a lot of different enemies, and that changes up throughout the stages. They introduce new ones, so you have to kind of learn the best way to tackle them. It's when you get into the flow of the game, it is incredibly engrossing, and it's a kind of game where the more you play it, the more in tune you are with it, like a lot of video games. But I'd urge you, if you do play it, to really stick with it, because I think initially I was like, oh, this is a very simple, straightforward game. I get it. It's fun, and it's incredibly well put together. It looks great, nice visual style, but yeah, it doesn't really engage me enough.
Yeah,
but keep with it, and the game kind of gives you extra layers of challenge, and when you get that many ships flying at you at once and you're able to use those attacks and take them all out effectively, you feel great and you get in a real flow, and it's really a great experience. I really enjoy it a lot. Also use a dash move. As soon as I realized how important the dash move was in the game, that's when it really became easier to play.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can, because what's interesting is you only have a limited amount of energy to do your attacks. You have like, you've got to fill that up with these little crystals that come out of the enemies. If you don't have enough yellow crystals, then you can't use your laser.
Yeah.
So you might have to rely on your other power up, which might be a swinging sword, but that's got its own energy meter as well.
So it's all about balance.
So it's balancing between all the weapons, because you can't always use the one you might want to use straight away. So what you do then is you dash. When you dash, you can dash through enemies. And if you've defeated a few, then those crystals are all flying around. Rather than try and clear all the enemies out of the way before you get the crystals, just dash through as soon as your crystals are there.
Yeah.
And then you can just kind of keep up that flow. So it's sort of like resource management in fast-paced shooter style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite an amazing achievement. And it's so solid and well-made. I mean, it's deceptively simple.
Yeah.
But once you get into it, it is very graceful, as the title suggests.
Yes. there are explosions and there are also machines. So it ticks all of those boxes.
Yeah, and I'll just say a little bit about the visuals. They're really chunky and, how do you call it? It's sort of like a contemporary, bright colours.
It almost feels vector-based, right?
Yeah, like I think the developer,
solid swatches of
developer's
color.
Name is sort of a vector type.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a reference to vectors, I think.
It feels very much like it's almost kind of like there's these the highlights of the level stages with like the jagged angles and stuff on Sonic Mania. Actually, it's kind of got those same colors running through it. It's very contemporary, very fresh colors.
Yeah. We sort of got that retro classic type gameplay, arcade style gameplay as well. It's sort of got that timeless gameplay.
Yeah.
But then again, I've not played anything quite like it before. At first, I thought it was like Fantasy Zone in that way that you move back and forth and in an enclosed space and defeat enemies.
Yeah.
But it's like taking that and ramping it up to a fine art, okay. You know, in a way this game does. So
it looked really cool. It kind of, when you were playing it, it looked to have the same flow that I see in a game like Geometry Wars, but there's so much more depth to it.
Mm. You can spend a good hour doing a world.
Yeah,
I think there's quite a lot of gameplay in there. There's four different planets, and each planet's split up to 9 levels. Each level's split up to 3 phases. You have 2 levels to complete. 3 phases,
yeah,
basically.
2 lives, you mean?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I meant, yeah, it's 2 okay. lives. And you have, I think, 3 health to
so you
do
can
that
get hit
in.
3 times, okay.
Yeah. You can recover health occasionally. I don't know what the criteria is, but enemies will sometimes drop health.
I guess it's just random drop, yeah, right? Same as Mega Man.
It's quite rare to find that, but you can get the health. So there's a good challenge. It's got a good difficulty curve.
Yeah.
It really lets you learn the game before it actually starts getting.
Is there like any
difficult.
Element of like combo meter or whatever? Of
yeah,
like juggling that kind of thing.
Exactly, there is. Yeah, 20 times combos. Are quite. I saw a lot of them popping up. But the game's going so fast, it's like it's hard to actually
concentrate on those things.
It gives you a rating at the end, which you can upload to a leaderboard, and it ranks you in stuff like style and. Yeah. Yeah, how quick you've done the level and how many combos you've got. So there's plenty of replayability. Once you complete a world as well, you can do challenges for that world.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be like a time attack or like survival type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool, man. I'd probably pick it up for my Switch at some point.
I was going to say, it's be a great one for the Switch, I think.
Yeah.
Because it is a very pick-up-and-play type game. It's one I could see myself playing on the go.
Switch is my console of choice for this kind of thing. Is it available on the Vita? I know it's on the PS4, Graceful, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the Vita or not. But it's definitely on the Switch and the PC and the PS4.
Explosion
Can't
machine.
Recall if it's on the Xbox One either.
Vertex Pop is the name of
the developer. Oh, wait, it begins with a V.
Yeah, it's on the Switch and PS4 at the moment. I don't know if it's on PC even.
It might be coming out on the PC soon then if it's not already out.
Okay. Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, that's my recommendation. That and Sonic Mania have been the two games I've been playing the most.
Yeah.
Just lately.
Same with me and No Man's Sky and that. I did. If any of you've seen the latest edition of Biographic, I played Mr. Nuts.
I know, I've seen
on it. In every iteration except the Amiga one, because I find it very hard to get Amiga games running on my Mac.
I've never played the Amiga version, but I've got it on Super Nintendo.
Yeah, you have. That's where I first played it.
Yeah, and I have got a sequel for Amiga.
Yeah,
and it's not as good.
No,
no,
that's a shame.
Not the same developers, even. I don't think.
I think it is. I think it's
so different that it isn't. I don't think it was originally meant to be a Mr. Nuts game, though. I think that's why it's quite different.
No, they did intend it to be Mr. Nuts, but they were trying something different with it.
Yeah.
And then they were originally going to make it as Mr. Nuts 2 on the Mega Drive, and I think they originally talked about Super Nintendo, but a Mega Drive version of it exists. There's a build out there of the finished game. And most people who like Mr. Nuts don't really like it because it goes off in a weird direction.
Mm.
Apparently, that's the game they originally wanted to make.
There's some top-down bits in it. And
there's also some flying bits as well, right? Like,
yeah, I've not played enough of it because my initial impression was, it's a bit disappointing because it's not quite like Mr. Nuts. And Mr. Nuts is a fun game.
It's a pretty solid game. It gets fucking hard.
I've not played
the
Game Boy version, though. From what I could see, it looks similar, but I imagine it has its own little problems. Maybe the other ones don't.
No, to be honest with you, like, the difficulty curve on the Game Boy one is steep, but I find it steeper on the Super Nintendo one, playing through that. The Mega Drive one is probably one of the better Mega Drive soundtracks I've heard.
Mm.
There was, like, someone linked it to me in the comments of the YouTube video, and I was listening to it when I was playing it, going, oh, this is a different take on it, the same way, you know, because of different sound chips.
Whereas maybe the Super Nintendo one looked better visually.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would say.
Yeah.
Better visuals on the Super Nintendo, tighter gameplay as well, but the Mega Drive's got a much better soundtrack.
Mm.
Worth a go. Have
so
a look.
You'd recommend the Game Boy one?
I definitely recommend the Game Boy one.
In the same breath as the home console version.
Yeah, I think so. I think they are comparably good.
Because that's not always the case, is it?
No,
when you get a Game Boy version of something, it's usually a bit gimped, isn't it, compared to...
I think that's even being generous.
You know that better than most. Don't you?
Yeah, I do. But it's worth playing. Track down a copy for whatever system you end up playing it on, but it's worth a look. Mm. Except maybe the Amiga.
Mm. And there's also a Game Boy Color version of it.
There is. It's the same one as the Game Boy version, and that's good. Avoid the Game Boy Advance
I've
one like a plague.
That's a bad
I played a bit of it, and yeah, it made me want to throw things. Yeah. It has a lot of weird issues with the screen resolution, in that they have to do that thing where up and down mean you're looking up and down. Yeah. And it's
there's
not
a few
good.
Instances of these games when they're ported to the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Not working out. I think Earthworm Jim's also a problematic one.
Which is weird, because when they get it right, they get it right. And then most of the time they don't.
It's, yeah. Also, I heard that R-Type 3 wasn't so good on the Game Boy Advance. It had some slowdown or something.
I don't remember anything being that wrong with R-Type 3. I have it.
Yeah. I think in comparison to the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the Super Nintendo version, generally speaking, is probably going to be better anyways.
Yeah.
But there we go. Yeah, I bought some games, though. I actually have purchased a few things this week. I got a new Game Boy on Friday. One of our colleagues was selling a Game Boy with a boxed copy of Batman and WWF Superstars.
Oh.
Very nice condition for all of them.
Oh, that's nice.
So I was like, oh,
you've got good cover there on Superstars.
It does. Yeah, it's got Hollywood Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate
Warrior.
It's
not Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Is he not
it's
Hollywood
just Hulk Hogan.
Then? Oh, yeah, because that's
WCW. And there's Macho Man. And Ultimate Warrior.
But it was mainly for Batman, to be honest.
You wanted the Batman box.
I wanted the Batman box, and the Game Boy was an upgrade of mine. So I bought it, and then I sold mine yesterday at the retro gaming market. So
was it hard to see that go? Was it not yours from a kid?
It's not mine from a kid, no. All of my Game Boy collection from when I was a kid is still in my mum's. I didn't bring it over because I never wanted it mixed in, just in case I thought, bugger this, and sold everything. I was like, well, I want to keep my own. I also went to a place in Colling before I went to the market, and it just sells like secondhand stuff. And I picked up a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 and 3 for the PlayStation 2.
Ah, that's good price.
And a very reasonable £2.
I think 3 is a little harder to get.
It is. It also has Turtles in Time on it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to.
What's that, 2?
2 is also quite pricey.
I thought 2 had a Turtles arcade game on it. Maybe
it does.
It's the
it has the arcade game on 2, and then Turtles in Time is on 3.
Because I was looking for a copy of 3, I think, on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I was doing my old thing. I haven't got a Turtles game on Xbox, so I'll try and find Turtles 3.
Because it's got a green case.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was released outside of the US, or it's harder to get. Easy to get a US copy of it, I think.
I'm not sure. But it's all right. I was like, oh, sweet. I looked at it, I was like, oh, the fuck. Usually I go to this store in Colling, and it's the same place I got Tekken Tag from.
Is it
the
record shop?
No, it's there's a secondhand place near the mall. It's the same. Oh. We have. There's a thing in Denmark at the moment, there seems to be these stores that are essentially secondhand shops, but you pay to rent out a shelf. There's one of them in the town where we work in Billund, and there's a few in other places. The goal is you pay like 30 quid a week or whatever it is, and then you put all your crap on this shelf, and then people come in and buy it. Say if you're taking it to a car boot, which is why car boot sales have been crap this year, which is a bit of a shame.
Mm.
But I I went in there, I saw them, I was like, oh man. I was just like, that seems really odd. Why are there Turtles games here? Is there someone just reselling PS2 games? Because there was a ton of PS2 games. And then I looked on the bottom shelf and it was full of Turtles. I was like, oh, actually, this is some kid who liked Turtles. So,
well, what's not to like about Turtles?
Exactly. I was going to sell my copy of Smash Up as well yesterday because I have it for the Wii now, but it didn't sell. So I was like, oh, I'll throw it on the shelf. Why not?
Really?
Get the full Turtle set. I got a free copy of Sin and Punishment as well.
That's nice. The Wii one, not the N64 one.
Unfortunately, no, not the N64 one.
You know, I could get that now. You could. Got a Japanese N64.
Yeah, and it's mostly in English, as the Virtual Console has taught us.
Yeah, why got not? It on the Virtual Console. If it's cheap enough for a Japanese copy.
I assume it's probably not too expensive.
Because they usually aren't expensive.
No, Japanese, I mean, N64. It is a late title, but I think it'd be fine. I don't think it'd be that expensive.
I might as well.
Yeah. Someone bought Legacy of Darkness for the N64 yesterday in front of me. And I was like, how much you pay for that? He was like, oh, 200 krona. I was like, fuck!
That is the other version of Castlevania 64.
Yeah, the good one with Cornell and all of the extra characters. And I was like, fuck, it's one of the few games I would actually like for my N64 and at a good price. Never mind.
Mm.
Yeah, our friend Bass, who I went to the retro gaming market with, he was selling some Transformers and some DS bits. He had a copy of this, and way back when I gave him a copy of Twilight Princess because he sold his, and he was just like, oh, take it. He goes, there you go. It's payback for Twilight Princess. So, very happy with that. I've been looking after a copy of that for a while. It was one of the last Wii games I want. Now all I need is a bloody Shadow's Tale. And then
that Shadow's Tale has been eluding you for many years.
It has eluded me for ages, and I never found it. But the stuff I got yesterday at the retro game market is as follows. I sold my spare copy of Tally Roboxer for the Virtual Boy. And the guy was like, I've never seen a Virtual Boy game. And I was like, he's like, I don't have a Virtual Boy. I was like, well, I said, to be honest, I said, I'm selling it for a tenner. It's what they were in Japan. You're not going to find a cheaper one than this in Europe. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Oh, yeah. So it's a good sales pitch, huh?
Yeah, well, he gave me a fiver for it and a copy of Flower, Sun, and Rain, the Suda 51 pseudo sequel to the Super Case.
Yeah, I picked that up, but can't recall if I've properly played it.
It is a visual novel type game with puzzles, the same way that 999 or whatever is that kind of the... Oh God,
yeah, I know the one you're
talking about.
I remember
the name of that series.
Is that the
Virtues, it's the one with Virtue's Last Reward. Yeah. It's got a name. I can't remember what the series is called. Anyway, I really like those games as well. It's really annoying that I can't think of the name of the series. Anyway, so I look forward to playing that. I played a little bit of it originally. I remember it being quite challenging and not very good. But I like Suda games, and it's one that's actually going up to be pretty pricey. So to get it for free and with money for something that I paid nothing for
back
in the day.
I certainly got it cheap when I got it, at least.
Yeah. When I was looking at it, it was about 20 quid now. So it's one of the DS games that's starting to rise. So might be worth looking out for. I got a game called Sword of the Samurai for the PS2, which I've never heard of.
Because you like samurai.
I like samurai. I was actually looking for Way of the Samurai. Yeah.
You get everything but this Way of Samurai game.
Typically,
you want,
right?
Isn't it?
Everything but Way of the Samurai. I saw so many people with Way of Samurai 2. Way of the Samurai 1 is a much more common game because it was a almost launch title.
I know it well.
And doesn't cost very much on the internet. So I should probably just bite the bullet and buy it on Amazon.
Yeah.
But any time I've gone to like a retro market or wherever, I've gone like, oh, and I'm going to pick up Way of the Samurai.
Have you got Way of the Samurai 3?
No, I don't.
No.
I've seen several copies of it, but I want to get it on the... I'm thinking PS3. Of getting it on the PS3.
Yeah.
I was going to get it on the 360, but no point.
Oh.
So yeah, I got that. I have no idea what it's like.
I don't either.
I'll give it a look.
Genki, is it?
Yeah, Genki is the people who made it.
Yeah.
It looks all right on the back. I'll give it a go. Then some Game Boy stuff. I picked up Turok Rage Wars because it's the last Turok game I need for the Game Boy Color, and I don't often see it.
I wonder what that's like.
I have no idea.
Because it can't be 3D.
It's not going to be 3D. I don't even think it'd be a first-person shooter.
It'd be a 2D platformer.
It'll be a 2D side-scrolling platformer. I bet. Mark my words. I've got Gex, which I've actually heard is not too bad for Game Boy Color.
Yeah, I'd be curious to play Gex in the Game Boy Color.
Someone had a copy of The Adventures of Star Saber, which is quite a rare and sought-after European label Game Boy game, and I was like, 20 krona.
Is it a good game?
Yeah, it's a Japanese series that's called Rubble Saver in Japan. It's essentially a side-scrolling shooter... like Contra, like a run and gun shooter, but you're in a robot, and when the robot gets damaged, that you're then a person, and you can find other mech suits around the levels.
All right.
It's pretty interesting, but it was cheap. I got it bundled in with Turok and Gex for a reasonable price, and I was like, yeah, go on then, I'll have that for that. Purely because I couldn't remember if mine had a European label or if it had a US one, because I always confuse it with Battle Unit Zeoth. So I now have three copies of Star Saber, so I should probably trade that off to someone who needs it. I bought Ham Ham Games, Hamtaro, because it
That's
was...
That's the Olympic type thing.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It was 5 krona. I was like, cool, I don't mind paying 50 pence for a shitty GBA game.
I hear that the Hamtaro games are actually good.
The one I bought in Italy, actually, I ripped into it in that travel guide I wrote for Retro Collect, but it wasn't actually that bad. Yeah. And I got Super Monkey Ball Jr.
Not bad.
No, which is a good game. And then I got 2 free boxes for Harry Potter and for Spider-Man. And then I traded something that shall remain nameless for a copy of 1942 on the Game
Boy. That's very mysterious.
Yeah, it is. It's just someone mentioned they really wanted something. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll see what I can do. So, yeah. Oh, wahaha. To be revealed in future.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's all good in the hood. I made out like a bandit. I made quite a bit of money. Some guy flaked on me from buying my copy of Mega Turrican, which I'm still kind of annoyed about, but yeah, that's how it goes. What about you, Tom Parry? What have you been buying?
Digital games.
Oh, actually, I should mention as well, I was talking with a listener of the podcast yesterday.
Oh, you were?
He has said, I'm quite surprised, Tom's not been buying a lot off eBay recently. So, prove him wrong, Tom.
Well, that's intentional because I want to save a bit of cash and it's too easy to go on eBay and just spend money.
Yes.
So I've been trying to just not go on eBay at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
And do other things. So the games I've got this last week, I downloaded JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because it was only $11.99 on PS4.
I thought you had it.
No, the PS4.
Oh, you have the PS3 version.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And that PS4 version's quite expensive for a box copy of that nowadays.
I've seen it relatively cheap in GameStop.
It's £12 for a downloadable version.
I think it might be less.
No. Well, my little bit of research, at least, because I did just check online how much it was going for, and it was upwards of £35, £40.
I think it's reduced because no one buys fighting games in our locale. Also, the Saint Seiya game is really
I've already
really
got
cheap.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's also one. You can get that digitally as well, but I didn't. I did actually buy a physical game that was on discount from GameStop, and that was Digimon World.
Oh, right.
Actually, because our mutual friend Cody's quite interested in Digimon,
yeah.
And he was like dying to play this game.
And the Cyber Sleuth one?
No.
No, I was going to say, because that's an RPG. Yeah. I was like, why do you play an RPG?
Technically, this is, I guess, an RPG.
Yeah.
But it's about raising Digimon. I've never played a Digimon game before. This is reminiscent, I guess, of the series, how it started on PS1. Yeah. So it's sort of like Pokemon, but you've got two, you only have two, you have two to look after. But what surprised me about it was the level of depth and simulation involved, because they need to go to the toilet and they need to be fed.
Yeah,
and
well,
just like the Tamagotchi. And also, if they get hurt, you don't just heal them. If you get really hurt, like seriously injured, you have to like find medicine, and so it's a bit of resource collecting as well. So the storyline sort of goes, you're transported to the world, is under attack from these Digimon that keep appearing, these mean ones. It's quite simplistic type storyline.
Do you change them into digital champions to save the digital world?
I guess you do.
Good.
Yeah. but what's happened is that you start off in a village, and the Digimon, I think, used to live there, or they're all around the area, and you have to kind of round them up.
Right.
But then you have to fight them as well.
Okay.
You know, some will join you. You know, or some will have fight you before they can join you.
Yeah.
But then they just go into your village and start building up the village, so other shops will open and things like that.
Okay.
But it's quite hard work looking after two Digimon, especially when, you know, they get this fatigue, so they have to sleep, you know, and all this. And you can only go out of the village when you've trained them up so much. And you can't, like, train them to death because they need to sleep as well, as I say. So.
Yeah.
It's unique. I've not actually played a game quite like it before.
The only game I can think is kind of somewhat like that is maybe Azure Dreams, which is still one of the last bloody black cards I need for my Game Boy collection. I should probably try and get on tracking down. But I remember that game has some kind of like developmental thing to your monsters and training them and fatigue and stuff.
I have no idea, though, how you know what's going to turn into what, because at the beginning you get to pick two eggs and you get like a very small kind of pixel image of the Digimon you're going to get.
Yeah.
And of course, when they first come out, they're like blobs. Mm-hmm. You know, there's they don't have many defining features.
Yeah.
And then you raise them to the next level and they're just blobs with something else, like legs or something.
Yeah.
And then they totally change into something. Yes. Like, I've got like a goblin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a goblin with a club. He came complete with his club when he evolved. And I've got something that's like a clockwork sun.
Okay.
Yeah, it's weird. Very reminiscent of that sun from Pokemon.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know that sun?
I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
That rock sun thing. So, yeah, I guess there's a lot of designs, but I wouldn't know at the beginning what I was going to get.
Yeah.
And I imagine when they evolve next, they're going to turn into something that looks totally different again. I say the visuals are a little bit...
ropey?
Outdated, okay. I'd say. The sharp
it's
and clean,
probably a PS3 game.
And I think it is a PS3 game, to be honest. So I'd say don't go into this thinking, if you're interested in this game, you think it sounds good, don't go into thinking it's going to look fantastic, because it's certainly... it could look like a polished up PS2 game if I go that far.
Yeah.
But more in line with maybe PS3, perhaps.
That's a shame.
Gameplay is fun, different. It did cost me $200.
It's not bad.
I didn't think it was bad for this particular game. And I know for one, Cody's very excited to giving it a go. So.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Did you see the best bit of news from last week we didn't actually talk about, in that Dragon Quest Builders 2 is coming to the PlayStation 4 and Switch?
Yay!
It's official. It's Mark Boyle's Game of the Year 2016 is getting a sequel, Tom.
That's great. Yeah, and there's a new Dragon Quest game coming out eventually, isn't there?
There is, yeah, it's out in Japan.
Isn't that Dragon Quest?
It's Dragon Quest 11.
11. I read, interestingly, that it's got a DS version and a PS4 version, is that right?
3DS and PS4,
yeah. Yeah, and the 3DS version has two versions of the game on it. One's like traditional sprites and the other's 3D.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you can use your save between... the PS4 and the 3DS through a password system.
Yes. It's fucking awesome. It's really,
visually,
really cool.
Visually, it looks very nice in the footage I saw. I
feared it is a very good game. So I'm very curious to see it.
Yeah, it looks like... was it Dragon Quest? What's that one on PS2? Was it 8? I forget. It looks very much like that one. Or was it 7? Can't remember.
7 is the one on the...
PS2,
yeah.
Yeah.
8 is Journey of the Cursed King. No, yeah, 7 is the one on... yeah, 7 is the one on the PS2, Journey of the Cursed King, or whatever
it
is.
Yes, because to me it looked very much like that one.
Yeah.
Was that the last time they did a proper...
no, that's
main
8.
...series?
That's 8, because 6... Oof. 5, 6, and 7 are on the PS1... 8 is on the PS2, 9 is a DS game, and 10 is the online one.
10 is the online one, yeah. Which was also on Wii U, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. The PS4 version is selling more than the 3DS version of Dragon Quest 11. It's almost as if most of the people who probably bought the 3DS version would probably prefer it on the Switch. Weird that. Did you read this like cat and mouse thing of essentially the guy who makes the Dragon Quest games, his name escapes me, like being directly asked, like, is there going to be a Nintendo Switch version? Because he'd said there'd be a Switch version at one point.
Mm.
And he was just like, I can't talk about it. It's for men in suits to discuss, was his very curt response.
Oh.
So
he would, if he could, make a Switch version.
I assume they're making a Switch version. Like, the implication of the article and the translation seemed to be that either Nintendo or Square Enix doesn't want to announce it yet because they think it'll hurt the sales of the 3DS version. But the cat's out of the bag, and that's probably why it's
maybe. Is that
selling.
Similar to, let's not announce physical version of Sonic Mania?
Yeah.
Because then people will wait downwards. And they won't.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
They'll people buy it twice,
mm-hmm.
like me.
Yep, and me. I'll buy a Switch version. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, I'll be interested to see how Dragon Quest turns out, though, on the Switch with the hardware maybe not being as capable as the PS4, because they had that Dragon Quest Heroes, and I saw a video on that, and the frame rate on that... And then people go on about frame rate a lot, but in this, it certainly looked like a noticeable drop in the Switch version.
See, there's a lot of shit on screen at once in Dragon Quest Heroes.
Yeah, and the Switch didn't seem to handle it as well as the... PS4.
Yeah, but Builders not so much.
No.
Like,
no.
You know what I mean?
But then again, what's for this other Dragon Quest, Dragon Quest 11,
yeah,
how will the Switch version turn out?
It will probably just be the 3DS version, I would assume.
Oh, do you think?
I think it will be
rather than the PS4
Monster
version.
Monster Hunter XX was for the Switch is coming out in Japan is a textured version of the 3DS game.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot nicer, but it's pretty much the same engine that's running in the background.
Oh, okay.
So I assume that would be where I would place my money. I don't think it'll look as good as the PS4 version, but we'll see. To be honest with you, if that is the thing and they release it in the West with a Switch and a PS4 version, I'll probably buy both. Because if I can play it on the go, then fucking why not? Or if it's the case of, like, you play the sprite version on the Switch, and then when you plug it into the dock, it becomes full 3D. That'd be pretty cool as well.
Mm. And Shenmue isn't coming out until next year.
Yep.
That was
December 2019. Don't worry, the world will be over by then. That's why they just keep pushing it now and waiting for nuclear war.
I think we all knew when we hadn't seen any, like, proper footage of the game.
Yeah.
That it wasn't going to come out this year.
Do you know Yu Suzuki's just, like, swimming in a pool full of money like Scrooge McDuck?
I don't think that's what he's
doing with his time now.
I find it interesting, though, that Sony were there initially to springboard it, but then they're not publishing it. I don't know how that works. I mean,
probably got boomed with No Man's Sky, I would imagine.
Deep Silver have been very good for publishing Japanese games.
Also, if you notice, both of the games that they announced to be like, yeah, look, we're building the list. Final Fantasy VII, delayed. Shenmue 3, delayed.
Mm.
You know, like, in all fairness, though, I mean, so is Crackdown 3, so the Xbox One X is actually launching with nothing. It's launching with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, which I will be playing and enjoying on the Xbox One I currently own.
And I saw a friend of mine, fellow Blast Processor, informed me of something.
Yeah.
That game already put posters for it with the price, and they shouldn't have done, apparently. Not yet.
Interesting.
Yeah, they prematurely put a poster in the window before, I think, the announcement this evening about that.
Yeah.
And 450...
Ooh la la.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. The four people that own one of those consoles, I'm sure, will really enjoy it. I'm sure it'll be worth
for me, what? That's just so expensive. You could just buy an Xbox One.
Do you know the only time I've turned on my Xbox One in the past year was to say that Rare has some games on the fucking Rare replay for a Game Boy Vigil. I can't even remember what game it was.
I use it quite often because I've bought certain games for the Xbox One as opposed to PS4 because they've been in green boxes. So, and I do like Forza. And
I mean, you do like games. Forza, but for me, there's nothing on that system that I really want to play. Like, I will buy Sea of Thieves as soon as Sea of Thieves launches. I will definitely get that game. Mm. I should have played more Gwent than I actually have on that system. Slime Rancher is exclusive to it. I will probably play a shit ton of PlayerUnknown's Battleground.
Slime Rancher, actually.
Yeah. It's a good game.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I didn't quite get the purpose of it yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm collecting slimes and putting them in the pen and then feeding them chickens.
It's Harvest Moon, but in first person.
Yeah.
You got to keep your slimes alive and then you sell them and then you build a big house.
Fair enough, yeah. I was wondering how to make more pens. I thought the more slimes I put in this pen, then it will get full. They won't be able to put any more in. So at least that was my goal at the beginning, to fill it full of slimes. Then I found other slimes, which I couldn't suck up with my sucker.
Yeah.
My slime sucker.
Your gun, yeah. Your Hoover.
My Hoover thing. And I thought, well, this is pleasant. Aesthetically, I liked the look of it. And I thought the gameplay was reasonably unique and... Yeah, good for freebie.
Yeah, it's all right. To be honest with you, I'm tempted to find an Xbox Live trial so I can give it a go because I like the look of that game.
Trials Fusion is also free.
Got that though.
Yeah.
Man, Machine, the Future, all that jazz.
Yeah, I picked that up.
I think Slime Rancher is exclusive anyway. Like, to be honest with you though, like, I need to beat Yakuza 5 because then I can guarantee Yakuza 0 and we can finally actually play the same Yakuza game and talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
But also...
we could do that, because I'd be very inclined to play that. You'd probably play it more than me, but...
Well, yeah, also, like, the other one's out at the end of next week. So that will be arriving in my mailbox very soon, I hope.
Apparently that's been published by Deep Silver.
It is,
yeah.
Only £25. I mean, yeah. It is a remake of that first game, which...
is great.
Is a great fucking game. So, like, if you don't buy that game for £25, honestly, like, if you haven't heard me prattle on about how amazing this series is and gone, like, yeah, £25 for a full remake of that game in, like, HD is a really fucking good game. Mm. Then you should probably do that, because I don't know what's wrong with you if you don't, especially for £25, man, like...
Yeah. It's worth the money. I mean, it's not like a shorter version, is it? It's like the abridged version. It's
no,
the same
it's got more
game.
Stuff in
more
it.
Stuff,
like, they're linking it back to Yakuza 0. Apparently, there's going to be, like, tie-in stuff that isn't in the original game. There's, like, 30 minutes of additional cutscenes and stuff in the game to link it together.
Well, as it was, 0 cost me about £25 when I bought it. So for the two, that's, like, £50 for all that gameplay.
Yeah. Bang. No-brainer. Tiny. I mean, the Yakuza 1, if it is the same as the first one, it's going to take you like 60, 70 hours to 100%. Like, for £25, that's an absolute bargain.
Mm.
Bargain! And we're not sponsored by Sega, we promise. We've been talking a lot of good things about Sega, but then we also talked about how crap some of the Sonic games are, so it's alright, it balances stuff out.
I never said crap.
Ah, you didn't. Yeah, okay, cool. Is that it?
I did just realise I did buy something on eBay. Just one thing.
What, Tom?
Red Dog, superior firepower for the Dreamcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
That's like a third-person tank.
Somewhere Jan is smiling.
Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Who was it done by? Argonaut.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's right. And it's meant to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Japanese, European?
European.
Okay, cool. I may have to check that out. It's got the Argonaut name on it. Therefore, I'm interested.
Yeah, Red Dog for Dreamcast.
Okay, cool. On that note, I shall wrap up the podcast. If you have liked said podcast, you can find us in a variety of places. On Facebook, facebook.com/TomAmattAttack. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. And you can listen to this fine audio recording in a variety of places. On blastprocess.com, on tomattattack.com/podcast, on the YouTube channel of Blast Process, and in iTunes, where all good podcasts are published. While you're there, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe and share this around to people you think may be interested, because that's how the podcast gets around and we know people are listening. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
We will do. Until then, though, be sure to game on.
Game on.